Oh, yeah.
Jim, I don't think you can do that. What was it?
No. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which mayor? Real mayor or mayor here?
That's right.
You guys should be.
Yeah, thank you. So are you gonna get one eye to see close and one eye to see far?
Very clean. Every time you drive there,
used to be less than it was this long. Tail gates, sports.
Twenty-second, isn't it?
Until Mark's big one, in my near day, I had a quick.
There is.
Rebecca coming, have you already said she's coming up?
No, she's not coming.
This is Amanda's.
Yeah.
She's an elderly.
Yeah.
She actually wants.
I mean, it's really not an eyesore, I want, you know, bored out, I guess.
Rebecca wants to do a weekend.
No, they can't.
In June, I think, whatever. They'll go forward.
We call it. She's doing okay. I'm physically, she's.
I know they think that that's.
Over.
It just went right to me.
12?
Yeah. She has one girl. And so. And what you were saying.
Funny.
Every. I don't. She's more of a.
There's a big part for her.
That does happen too.
You go to the inside.
Exactly. But. No, no, she's a kid. But then she. She finished three out of nine, so now this is.
I don't care. I don't think it is either.
It's cool, go ahead and call the meeting in order. To begin, can I, get approval of the minutes for the meeting of February 8, 2016?
So moved.
Second. And second. Any corrections?
Hi.
Any public comments? Chairman comments? A lot going on in public health, but I imagine Cindy will address some of that. So just congratulations again to our Dr. Gwynn for the 2016 Woman of Commitment Award. Very good. We'll go to the presentations.
Stacy Lyons with the Division of Health. This is my annual trip to see you guys. I have a slew of information for you, as always. So the handouts, we have the yellow, the gray, the green and blue, and the gray. So we're going to go over all this. We are kind of through the first quarter of the year, which means annual report time. So we have several different reports. First is our Kenosha County Division of Health Strategic Plan. We have completed our five-year cycle, I guess, for our strategic plan. So we do now into the next year. This is something every team in the division works on every year. They put together objectives specific to their team, and that's what that team kind of works on for the year. And then at the end of the year, we get updates on how it's continued. So we dive into this report, and I'm not going to go through line by line. You'll kind of see we do have division-wide goals and objectives that we work on that are kind of all-encompassing, and you'll see that in there. And then it kind of dives more into the specific nursing goals. So you'll see it starts with the 2016 goals and objectives. So you'll have an idea of kind of what each team in the nursing section, environmental, laboratory, what everybody's working on for this coming year. Then on page 19 is when then you'll see for 2015 the updates, the status on how everybody did for their goals and objectives for the last year. Some do roll over into the next year, but we didn't do that. This ties very directly into quality improvement for us as a health department. Something we talk about a lot with accreditation. We've moved very much into the quality improvement realm where we're constantly looking at processes. Can we do things better? Can we make things more efficient? And a lot of these goals, not all of them, but most of them move into as QI projects. So they're something that then when every year for accreditation, we have to indicate what we're doing as a health department to work on quality improvement and look at it. That's what we improve. They want to see that we're constantly trying to improve and make ourselves the best. So you'll see that all in there. If you have specific questions, we can address them again as we move along. But this isn't just a document that sits on the shelf. This is definitely something we look at. Teams look at the meetings. We then look at, we have a QI team that looks at these things. So these definitely are moving, fluid things that we're striving for. So they go ahead and they comments or petitions. But then, so this is strategic plan that will move us into our annual report. The yellow document, this is our 2015 Health Department annual report. Out of the press. This has much more data. This does tie into our strategic plan, but this is more driven with our services and data compared. I usually compare to how we did in certain areas the previous year. So you can see that in there. It's broken down again by the preventative medical section, our nursing section, and the different teams. And I'm not going to go through mine by line, but the nursing day program, some of the services, and data, family reproductive health, the comprehensive home visitation program. We've had some additions in there, community health outreach. And this is, I mean, this, whenever I have somebody come to my office, if we have students or a new employee, this is my go-to document. Because this, in a nutshell, shows as a health department what we do. A good indicator of all the services we do and how we're doing. And every year, because I do this every year, I'm adding more and more things to this because we're adding more and more services, which is wonderful. You can then see on page 9 the environmental health section and all of their different areas and data. The asthma's in there as well. And then laboratory, which you'll be hearing about a bit too. There are different areas and data. And then on the back sheet is our HUD lead based.
I have one question.
Yeah.
On page 4.
Yes.
It looks like from 2014 to 15, the immunization doses administered really went down. Any reason for that? Do you have any idea?
Well, you can theorize on what you think. I will say with the data piece, we've moved now to our electronic health records. Mm-hmm. So 2015, I had a half a year of data that I got from one database. And then the other half that we got from the new, so this should be very reflective.
Okay.
But, you know, give that, you have a year where I got data from two different sources, where previously it was from the same type. But with immunizations, I think we're seeing the individuals in some neighborhoods, you know, we have a lot of areas now where people can go and get some of those services.
Pharmacies,
so
walking clinics.
I think too with the Affordable Care Act, people have access now where they can go and get it.
Also federal law change.
Okay.
Right. They're supposed to be going, they're not supposed to be coming here if they have insurance.
Oh.
Okay.
And it took a couple of years for that to really implement itself within our community. Mm-hmm. And that's how we saw a significant decrease over the last couple of years.
I was more kind of worried that all this debate you read on the internet or the newspapers of whether immunizations are good or not, I was hoping that didn't affect it that much.
No, this is just our clinical services,
okay.
But in the community itself, we haven't seen a significant dip.
Good.
You'll see that with the flu vaccine too, the dip in that, again, because so many so many different places in the
One question I have is, you have Well Child Clinic clients serve, is that the number of total visits or the number of total people that keep coming back?
My understanding, and I would have to clarify, but it would be the number of clients that are coming back.
Yes.
Any other questions? Is that related to immunizations or with Well Child, your question?
Well, I'm just wondering because the number has gone up, they should have more access to other health care.
And some do, or the waiting list is long,
mm-hmm.
or there's a multitude of variables that still exist, and more people should have access to care. You can still see there is an allocation issue in the community, and some of the variables still come back to us.
With that, they comply with percentage. percentile are ranking. So for health outcomes, we stay the same as last year at 64. Looking at length of life, we actually improved slightly. We went from 57 to 54. And we stayed the same for quality of life, 60 to 68. One thing, though, I just wanted that mention was looking at under quality of life, the percent of adults reporting fair or poor health. We did went from 13% to 16%. Don't necessarily like to see that. You know, we like to see that percent kind of raising it up. And again, that's self-reporting, you know, it's a survey, but still we like to see that. Moving into kind of blue area now, health factors general, we went from 65 to 66, so not a drastic change. The first group there is health behaviors, and that's really one I like to see us do well in, because it's looking at tobacco use, exercise, alcohol use, sexual activity. Again, it's those behaviors that somebody decides to do. And unfortunately, we went from 55 to 58. I would like to see this. There were years that we did fairly well in this area. So this is just makes us work harder and focus on these issues. A couple of things, though. The first line there, the percent of adults that report smoking and use their cigarettes, did improve from 21 to 17, so I do like seeing that. And also, kind of down a little bit, the sexually transmitted infections, we improved slightly, so I do like seeing that as well. Moving into clinical care, that's looking at access to health care. We went from 59 to 60, so again, not a drastic change, but we would like to see that, and hopefully with we will start to see that improve slightly. Moving into the back page, the next area, social economic factors, we looked at education, employment, income. We went from 60 to 61, so again, not a drastic move either way. Not too much to highlight. The high school graduation rate improved slightly. That's the first one. The percent of children under age 18 in poverty went up slightly, and also percent of all households that are single parent households that went up slightly as well. So again, there's some good, there's some not so good. The injury mortality rate is that last little line in that category. We went from 61 to 66. And then the last area is where we get hit every year, is physical environment. And they currently look at air, water quality, and then housing and transit. That's what they consider physical environment. And we are dead last in 72 in this area. They look at, you know, air quality, but then they also look at percent of the workforce that drive alone, percent of the workforce that commute more than 30 minutes. For us, I can't go any further than that. I mean, this is, I think, kind of where we're located. We get people that live in Illinois, in the Milwaukee area. So that's kind of our summary for 2016. I always like to compare, so you'll see some graphs attached. So I did it by the purple is health outcomes and health factors. You can kind of see how we've done. I went back to 2010, and you know, you can see the kind of this slowly going up, and the graph's going up, but we're going down. It's not good. The next is length of life, quality of life. That's has stayed pretty consistent, but the back graph is a little busy. But that looks at the health behaviors, clinical care, social, economic, and physical environment. You can see that we've had some dips, which were good. The dips are good. Like 2013, and the blue, the health behavior, we were at 40, which was amazing. I remember that year, it was wonderful. but I looked back to find out why. Like, why did we do so good that year? We did have see some good improvement in the teen birth rate and the motor vehicle death rate that year, which brought our ranking up. And also, environment. There was a year in 2001 that we were at 48, and I looked back again to find out why. And the physical environment category has changed a lot in the last few years. They constantly take out measures or add measures in, and that really does a doozy on our ranking. And in 2011, they actually they changed some rankings, but one that was in there was access to healthy foods. So looking at grocery stores or food markets nearby, and we had a great response, and that really brought our ranking down, which was wonderful. But then they took that measure out the next year, added something else in there that then brought our ranking down, or ranking down. So it's just kind of the beast of what the county health rankings are. Again, it's a snapshot, and it's data that we do use for helping people. We do use for planning in our community health improvement plan, but we take it for what it is. This is some good information. If you want to drill down into the different counties that are doing really good, they tell you Ozaukee, Waukesha, some of the nearby counties are doing really good. The website is talked about in here. If you're very interested in this and want to check out their website, it is interesting that you can compare different counties to see if you can compare relationships and drill down far into it.
The federal population is 65 without health insurance. It only went up 1%. I wouldn't think it'd be going up. Did they change something?
Well, it might be, let me look at how old the data is. Yeah, so that's looking at 2013. So, I mean, it's a few years. Yeah, so in 2 years when they used 2015-16, we'll see that.
Now, I think on your percentage of adults before you prepare the report out that went up in 2015-16, I would wonder if you looked at the county census data, which the county age bracket, I wonder.
That would be something interesting to look at.
I think it's probably.
Right. Yeah, there's so many different factors.
Right.
And angles. Any questions on the county health? I don't want this to be all bad. I do have another update. So part of my job is also preparedness. And in June, and this is just kind of an FYI, June 13th and 14th, we are, the Division of Health, along with the health departments and hospitals in the whole Southeast region, are doing a full-scale mass clinic exercise. We were asked to open a mass clinic in our county because of our border location. So we are doing our exercise at UW Parkside. So this again is full scale. They are actually, the state will be bringing in the assets, the strategic national stockpile. Granted, they'll be like empty boxes, but it's to give the idea of what it would be like if they actually requested and they would bring trucks with pallets of medication to our sites. We are not the only clinic being opened. There are 8 other open clinics, and open means it's for the public to come to, and about, I think, 8 or 10 closed clinics, which are more or less hospitals. They would get assets to dispense to their staff, patients. That's all getting coordinated on the same day, about the same time. This medication is going all around the Southeast region and getting dropped off. We then are opening this mass clinic at Parkside, coordinating with the Emergency Operations Center in Kenosha, but they'll also be at other points open in the Southeast region, coordinating public information, running volunteers through the clinic to get the idea of, we saw a big influx of people coming through. And then there's a slight law enforcement piece, but we're not making like the big focus of it. It's more the coordination and the opening and dispensing. So the notification activation of everything will be taken place on June 13th, with the clinic being opened the month of the morning of June 14th. So I'm just bringing this as an FYI that this is going on. If anybody's interested in observing, if you're observing, I'll probably have you walk through. It's just a kind of location kind of thing, but I can send information, maybe to Karen, she can send it out with just the FYI. This isn't going to be where we're having 20 lines open and doing kind of a full blown. This is to give the idea. So we'll have probably 3 lines, hopefully get at least 100 people coming through to really get the throughput, feeling of what it would be like. The big piece is coordinating with everybody else and just getting the medication there. So it's a lot. This is a big exercise for the state.
If you get a town, I would highly recommend it. I did it as a county board member of just a emergency command center operation. As put on the list, and you have no idea how quickly they can get a trailer full of antibiotics here and stuff. It's very interesting. It's one lot. You have no idea if it's available and how quickly you can get it. So it's, yeah, you get it, certainly. I'll be there, or if you want me to be a volunteer, I'll do that.
I have kind of the flyer that we're set up, sending up. But yeah, for updates, that's.
Okay. I'm Elena Angel Tutton. I'm the lab tech in the laboratory, along with, and I work with Megan. She's a teenager. I kind of manage more the environmental and clinical side of the lab while she does the forensics. I don't know if you guys have met her. She did a presentation last year, but it's my first presentation, so I'll just kind of talk about the beaches last year, how they went. Mine is the video one, if you can see that. So we work along with the DNR and then all the local health officials to monitor beaches. We do Lake Michigan beaches and then the county inland beaches. It's important for beach health just because polluted waters can lead to sore throats, diarrhea, vomiting, just with high bacteria levels. And 2015 was the 14th year since the Beach Act was implemented in 2000, so it was the 14th year, so 2016 will be the 15th year. So as I said, we do Lake Michigan beaches, and those are Penoyer, Elkford, Simmons, Eichelman, and Southport. Those are the 5 beaches that the DNR kind of has implemented as the important beaches in Kenosha County that we should monitor. Given on beaches, but since 2013, we actually do not, our lab does not do the beach water testing. Just due to loss of funding through the EPA, as the usual goes. And so we've been working with Racine County, who is very big on beach testing. Julie Kinselman up there. They're very forward in beach testing. So we've been working with them. What they do is they'll sample our beaches, and then they send the results to us. We're in charge of managing the results and entering them all. But we do test the county inland beaches, the list. So it's the laboratory, the environmental department, and the parks department that we work with to monitor our inland beaches. That's the list of all the beaches that we monitor. And beach monitoring begins Memorial Day week, so that Tuesday, and then it goes all the way up till Labor Day, so it's about 3 months of summer. As I said, the DNR kind of implements what beaches are monitored, and they're monitored based on priority. There's a high priority, and that's monitored 3 days a week. Kenosha doesn't have any high priority beaches. We only have The medium beaches are Simmons and Eichelman, and those are based on public access, how friendly they are to the public. Elkhart, Pamir, and Southport are low, because not very many people visit those beaches. And then the county inland beaches, the ones like Old Settler, Silver Lake, the Paddock Lake beaches, those are monitored once a week. And then the Sunset, Lucille Lands, and Lucille are once a month. We work with the environmental department with those beaches. So sampling is at a minimum of that amount of time, unless the E. coli level is high. Then we sample that day if the E. coli level passes the good level. Those are based on the standards, so based on our testing, let's say. So 235 E. coli per 100 ml of sample that we receive is a good level, so based on our testing. The next level would be 235 to 1,000 E. coli per 100 ml, and that would be caution or advisory. People can still swim, but at their own risk, caution. And then it is technically closed if it's greater than 1,000. We don't have lifeguards at our beaches, so these three signs are posted at our beaches. They can see the signs, but then again, it's the public's own risk if they want to swim to the beach, because we can't necessarily close the beach. But so those are the advisories that we post. So when we do our beach testing, what we used to do for the Lake Michigan beaches and then for the inland beaches, we do what's called CoAlert and CoAlert Quantitrain. It's EPA-approved method. Most everywhere beaches use it, so it's kind of the norm. We do this method. We also use CoAlert for our well water testing, but well water is qualitative, whereas beach water is quantitative. We want to know the amount of E. coli. So when we do the testing for the inland beaches, the samples are taken by our sanitarians or the Parks Department. They bring them into the lab. We store them in the refrigerator until we're ready to test them around 2 o'clock. We'll set them up, and then we incubate them for 18 hours, and then we read them in the next morning. So I mean, technically you're getting the sample a day ahead of time, and then you're reading the sample from the day before the next day. So it's kind of iffy, but that's the best testing that there is in beach water so far that's been approved. There is, so as it says, Racine uses qPCR, which is the up-and-coming beach testing. It's a PCR instrument. It's very expensive though, so that's why not very many people are doing it yet, or it's not EPA approved 100%, but it is looking like it's going to be the future of beach testing. So then, like I said, with Lake Michigan beaches, since we don't do the testing, we receive the results from Racine. Racine has about 4 or 5 interns that does the beach testing. So they do Racine and Kenosha, and then I believe some of Milwaukee too they do. So they'll send us like a survey of what the E. coli levels were, and then this survey also includes the number of people, the number of geese they see, if they see any algae or garbage. So we receive all that information, keep it in a big binder, and we also have to, so we upload that into our laboratory management system to keep track for ourselves, and then which is Wisconsin DNR Beach Manager's website, which anybody can access the actual Wisconsin Beach website, and you can monitor the beaches yourself, check on them. And then we notify the Parks Department of any of the signage changes that need to happen, or if it is good, it can stay good. And then the county inland beaches, we sample and analyze, notify the Parks Department, Village of Paddock Lake, and then the environmental manager, and then any signage change or further collections that need to be made if the beaches are bad will be taken then. I'm not going to read every percentage, but you can kind of see the overall. So the bottom four beaches, we just started testing last year, so those have no comparative percentages, but the rest, I kind of just started from 2013. The top are the Lake Michigan beaches, and then the three bottom boxes are the county and the beaches. Kind of just the conclusions, as you can see from the percentages. 2015, for some reason, it was the best year that we had. Since I have been here for about 4 years, I compared. What I have noticed kind of was last summer was kind of a cooler summer, so I don't know if that could possibly have to do with it. More rain events in 2013 and 2014. Rain is a big factor in beach water. And then another thing, Eichelman is usually one of the beaches that is closed a lot of times, just because the way that it is shaped. So it faces the south, and then it's got a arch where beach water or algae and debris can be collected. And if the wind is coming from the south, it can all be collected and stored there, so then there's a buildup of bacteria. When we test E. coli, that's just kind of the general bacteria that we test. We don't test every single kind of bacteria, but E. coli is a good indicator of whether a beach can make you sick or the water can make you sick. And then also, Lily Lake is kind of a resort area, and what the sanitarians who have been sampling the beach, as you can see, that one was at 45% good. The last month of August, there was a lot of geese, I guess, and bird feces is a good coli indicator, so that could probably be the cause of why the lake is bad. And then just kind of the future, so these are the conditions that can affect E. coli, rain events, like I said, stormwater runoff, sewage discharge, wind and waves is very big, as with Eichelman. The number of birds, and then the cleanliness, like we see in the sanitary surveys, if there's a bunch of garbage on the beach and whatnot, and then algae as well. So the future of beach testing, as I said, kind of will rely, I think, on qPCR. It's very expensive, but I think that's the best bet, because with that, you can get results within 3 or 4 hours. And since we're doing a test that takes 18 hours to do, we're not getting that day's results. So we're basing everything off the previous day. So that's what I think qPCR. Another thing that has been implemented along the coast of Lake Michigan is NOWCAST models, so they're predictive models. They're, a lot of the information is based on those sanitary surveys that they receive through the DNR. People will create models to predict what the future of the beach testing will be, or what the future of the beach E. coli levels will be. So I think those are the two things that we will have to look forward to, and hopefully in the future we will receive more beach water funding, but it's not up to me, so.
It's great to know when it falls them,
mm-hmm.
but wouldn't it be expensive but better to use the information to also find ways to keep it from going high, like if
right.
it's wind and mm-hmm. waves, can we build something?
Right, and that's Racine County, like I said, they're very big on beach water testing, designing ways to help in beaches and whatnot. So they have looked at various methods of doing all that, but cost money. It's money that the EPA or DNR doesn't want to use towards things like that. But yes, I mean, that would be the most beneficial.
When you say expensive, how much is this machine that you're talking about?
The PCR? It's about, I mean, it depends on the kind of real-time PCR, to be $10,000 to $20,000. but there still has to be more testing done with to see if it's actually a legit method. So, but, yeah.
Do you know if there's any data that the COLA form or the E. coli measures are a marker for viral, just for viral infection too, or is it a bacteria?
I do not know COLA bacteria, so I'm not sure if there is a testing for viruses, but I know viruses can be an issue just with old wounds and whatnot, and people that are unvaccinated and swim in the water can be an issue, but I'm not that I know of testing.
I'm assuming like periodically we'll have these just so outbreaks, and then we'll see. Do they ever think about that, or is that just not an itch for a while?
For
the
But occasionally you get the Wisconsin type uplifts of the needle. So that's kind of scary.
I don't know, Stacy, if our community disease data in the summer has reflected any difference with trending at all. A lot of times kids are at home, so you can think numbers go down, but I don't know if you've noticed any comparison.
I mean, just thinking back here, I would have, I mean, yeah, we would have to do that.
I don't recollect anything that was significant for us at Cal County.
Thank you.
Updates to provide for you. First of all, thank you, Stacy, for that great reporting. Appreciate that. And also I want to recognize we have some students here that are doing an observation of our Board of Health meeting. Maybe you'd like to introduce yourselves, please.
I'm Megan Dowd. I'm a Bachelor's of Science and Nursing student from Prison University.
Alexander Becker.
Thank you very much. For the health department, we had our all staff meeting last week. Boy, it seems like it wasn't. Our public health week was April 4th through the 8th, so we celebrated. Well, actually, we had it March 29th was our meeting, and then last week was National Public Health Week. We've been in recognition of that. During our staff meeting, we did a staff development training on real colors. We had done that same program about 4 years ago. It identifies the colors. There's four spectrums, green, red, orange, and yellow, or gold. And staff are able to look at our cultural diversity. So it actually is a training program that's accepted through our accreditation that we utilize for cultural diversity. And it's just an understanding of people, personalities, and people with different colors. So it's a nice time that staff had as an interactive training. We also were very fortunate to have a Nature Chief Program Officer that happened to be in the Wisconsin area and asked if he could visit last week. Dr. William Barnes stopped by. He stayed for about 3 hours and he shared with them different programs, mostly MCH type programs, our home visiting grant. We also have a Nature Breastfeeding Grant, which he was very interested in hearing about our baby cafe that we have at the WIC site. We also shared with them the issues of mental health and our helping people in Kenosha County, our strategic plan, QI programs, and workforce development initiatives. NATRE is the National Association of City County Health Officials, and so we're very fortunate to have this gentleman from Washington, D.C. to stop by. He was very interested and very pleased to see the professional staff and all of the high-caliber programs that they're going on here in Kenosha County. The environmental program, we just concluded cross-training with our POTS program. In the next couple of years, one of the main person will probably be retiring, so we are working on cross-training for sustainability of the program. And the public health tech, who he also passed his clinical or his certification for this program. Currently, the environmental program is working with emergency management, sheriff's department, the city water utility, Lee Energies, and the DNR, investigating the old gas
in the sewer lines, and so we're getting a little bit closer, it appears, to identifying cause and solutions. So we're hoping to have some further clarification on this. I'm sure you'll hear about it in the newspaper. One of our nurse practitioners was selected and received a scholarship, competitive scholarship, and she attended the Women's Health Conference in Kansas, and it was an all-expense-paid trip, so that was very, very fortunate. Our MAT program, which is the Medically Assisted Treatment Program, the VITRA program, we now have 16 individuals at different phases of involvement in the program. This is that pilot project that we're working with, the PSG Professional Services Group, and Department of Aging, and of course our health staff. Glenn has been working with several of our practitioners who are very involved with case management, medical case management for the individuals. We're still seeing an increase in pertussis cases, so there's a lot of investigation. I'm sure those of you our practitioners see that also in your field. Our mental health navigator has graduated from, or will be very shortly, her master's program, so she has resigned, since she will be moving into a private practice as a therapist. So Alicia Stewart, she's done a presentation, and Mr. Braitland will be filling that position, and it is well needed. Speaking about immunizations, we were approved by the state to receive additional funding to advance adult vaccines for TDAP. So that's the way that might help with the pertussis outbreak. So this is encouraging adults, especially grandparents, anyone who has contact with babies, to receive the tetanus vaccine that includes pertussis strain also. Our Family Foundation Comprehensive Home Visiting Grant, 5-year cycle, is concluding, and so now we're applying for the next 5-year cycle. The fund, 10, thanks, Glenn. So it's 10, that's awesome. The funding has been, or the NOPA, applicant has been, application has been released from the federal government. The federal government is releasing about $8 million plus dollars. No, no, that's going to our state. Do you remember how much federally they're releasing? Okay. Our state is going to receive about $8 million plus amongst other states, 24 states. And then within our state, there's a competitive process, so we'll be applying for that continuation of that funding. And that's for our Nurse Family Partnership Program and our Parents as Teachers Program that has been highly successful. Lastly, we have open positions, and it seems to be an ongoing trend. And I'm sure many of you in the healthcare field might be also feeling this. We have a public health nurse, one position. We have our two advanced nurse practitioner positions that we might be getting close to filling. One's been doing interviews and second interviews. The mental health navigator, I mentioned, we also have a public health tech. One of our techs left to, because she's continuing on with her BSN. And so we're happy for her, but we miss her. And then a sanitarian, we have one of our sanitarians that will be leaving in May. And we'll have a public health tech that will be moving up. And then we'll have that public health tech position to fulfill, which I think we have some people that are, have been on the list that we've been building.
Will Alicia Stewart be practicing in the area?
In the Milwaukee area, actually. So.
And who's here?
I know, we certainly could. Absolutely. But they won a practice up here.
Corporate counsel. Any other business?
Well, good, sir.
Very good. Thank you.
Don't get on my